chapter 2, understanding the move of God. Romans 8 and 13 says, "For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." So every move of God is enhanced by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he convicts both of sin and of judgment and destroys the deeds of the body. Sin, it is so subtle, but the Holy Spirit can cheaply arrest it. Now, repentance. The treatment for the sting of death is repentance. The treatment for it, repentance. In Proverbs 28 and 13, it says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Nothing works when sin is enthroned. How many of you know you got to dethrone sin out of your life? Now, Numbers, the 14th chapter, verse 21, it says, "But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it." So the author there is talking about God's mercy, talking about how limited it is. So now, whenever temptation continues, it graduates to provocation. And when provocation is in place, condemnation is sure. Provocation is the act of provoking, something that incites or instigates anger or irritates. So if you don't stop tempting God, how many of you know he'll count it at a certain point as provocation, that you're provoking him? Then how many of you know condemnation is inevitable? Now, let's look at this first. 1 John 1 and 8 and 9. It says, "If any man says he has no sin, when he has sinned, he deceives himself. But when he confesses sin, God is faithful and just. He will forgive him of his sins and cleanse him from all unrighteousness." So God is no respecter of person, no matter who commits the sin. How many of you know everybody is in the same category? Now, one of the things that I wanted to look at is this repentance thing. Now, I wanna make sure that I don't want to throw rocks at anybody, anything like that. But I've heard teaching on grace, but how many of you know repentance has to be in place? See, you cannot. There's so many things where we miss really what the scripture is saying, and we think that grace is this big cover-up. That's not what grace is. Grace is really an empowerment from God. The Bible talks about God has given us grace. Jesus said, the apostle said, it is this grace that is given so that we might please God acceptably. See, grace is what empowers us to please God. And so whenever we are in sin, we just can't jump back and say, I don't have to repent. That's not what the scripture teaches us. Repentance is the cure, really, for the sting of sin. Repentance is, we have to repent. So repentance is the only way out. It is the highway to restoration, and restoration is the gateway to manifestation. So unless I repent, I can't be restored. Amen. You can't be restored. So when it comes to grace, This is how I like to look at grace. Let's say that you're in the caveman days, and you've been dropped off, you know, on this island, and you don't know how you're gonna make it, but you make yourself a spear, and you got some big rocks, so you use the spear for, you know, killing the wild boars and that sort of thing and stuff. And but many times you're missing them, and so you and when you don't kill anything, you can't eat. All right, and so you got these rocks and stuff. You know, you trying to throw rocks to knock the coconuts out the tree, to find, you know, have some kind of eating. Now watch this. Okay, now if I came to you, you know, out of a time machine, and I came into that jungle where you were, and I gave you a rifle, and I told you that this is a gift to you, and I gave you this rifle, and I showed you, I said, now, if you're hearing the boats that's close around, just fire it, and they'll hear you. So I am not only giving them a gift, but I'm teaching them how to use it. Then I tell them, say, now, the balls and stuff, you don't have to throw at them. You can just stand back and you can just shoot them. And if you're attacked by a bear, this gun will also protect you. All right? So I leave that with you, but now you're hungry and the hogs are running and you're still picking up the spear, throwing at them and missing. You with me?
Yes, sir.
You're still throwing rocks up in a tree to try to get coconuts down when all you do is just take that rifle, you can shoot them down. You got the gift, but you're not using it. So I come back to check on you and find out that you've been devoured by animals, you've been destroyed, not because you didn't have what would have taken to save your life and to keep you going. You had what it took, but you didn't use it. That's what's called frustrating the grace of God. You have what it takes in order to be empowered to live a life above sin. He's given you grace, but if you don't use the grace, then you wound up, you wind up before God, and God said, I gave you what you need. See, grace is not something that it just used to cover up. Grace is really an empowerment. It's a gift, but it's an empowerment, but you got to use it. You got to cooperate with it. All right. Let me I'm gonna look at the scripture because there's, you know, I'm really a stickler for holiness. I really am. I'm a stickler for holiness. I don't want nobody talking to me all this old crazy talk. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I understand. See, watch this. We are supposed to see in this school. You know, we teach the culture of honor. And we know that if a person falls and they repent, it's time to restore them. It's not time to walk on them. It's not time to cast them aside. Are you with me? But at the same time, holiness is not something that just jump on you by osmosis. You understand? Holiness has to be, it is, all right, there's a difference between justification and sanctification. Justification is really salvation from eternal death, where sanctification is holiness. And holiness really is something that really it doesn't just fall on you. It's something that has to be worked out. Because, see, when you're born again, the spirit man God has put some things in your spirit, but they have to be worked. It have to be worked from the inside out to your flesh, where you have control of your flesh, where your flesh is not dominating you. Y'all with me? So, watch this. The Bible says, work out your own soul. Now, why the Bible say work out your own soul salvation? Well, that means that I've got a part in it. I got the part to play in it. That means it's not just going, you know, I just can't go doing the wrong thing and stuff and expect. See, this has stopped a whole lot of moves of God. And I believe sometimes if we make people think that grace is the big cover-up, then we're not going to really see the power coming out. We're not going to really be effective. See, really, as men and women of God, and one thing that the apostle is trying to do in this school is raise men and women up who's going to really walk in the power. You're not going to walk in the power if you're walking in sin. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Are you with me in here? For a long time, you know, preachers have, they preached, they've lived in a kind of way, and then they get up and they preach, and because there's still an anointing now to preach, they think that it's all right. But the only reason why the anointing is still there, because God can't deny himself. So whenever the gospel is being preached, God just back him up. Because if God wouldn't back him up, then God would be denying himself. But then, but you will not see the power present, you know, to see folk life change. You cannot, oh God, you cannot take a dirty container and take it and clean folk lives up with it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You with me? So repentance, man, repentance is something that we have to recognize. We got to repent. I told you this before, but I think it's bad telling you again. If I don't repent, see, okay, when the gospel is preached, the gospel brings what? It brings conviction. And so conviction is to your spirit what pain is to your body. So if I cut my feet walking on the beach and has no pain, I could bleed to death. Because the pain is going to indicate that there's something that's going on that has happened to me that needs some attention. So the same way, conviction is to my spirit. When conviction comes, it's a pain that I have to pay attention. There's something in my life that's not right, that I need to get right. Are you with me? So there has to be repentance. So repentance is the only way out. It is the highway to restoration. The restoration is the gateway to manifestation. We can't afford to toy with it or play with sin. Every unrepented sin is recorded in heaven's book. For instance, the honor in marriage is the bed is undefiled according to Hebrews 13. Now, when the bed is defiled, prayer and fasting is not going to bring no honor. Are y'all with me? I said prayer and fast. You can pray and fast. I had a man tell me, say, you know, man left his wife, and he was living with another woman. He said, I don't know why, but I'm praying more freely now. Say, are you serious? You know, you can really fool yourself. Now, if you were doing the right thing, and you weren't praying, well, what has happened is that now you know that you're not living right, so you're trying to spend more time praying so you can feel good about what you're doing. That's right. But how in the world can you feel good about doing wrong? Hallelujah. So it's on repentance that bring restoration. And if you're married and you're living with somebody, you know shacking, you shacking up. Y'all know that term, right? I think that it is so powerful that the author says that if you're living with somebody, say the best thing for you to do is pack your bags pack all your luggage. Go and pack your, if you got to live on the street, because it's better to go to heaven from the street than go to hell from a mansion. Hallelujah. That's powerful. And so many times, saints of God, it's just my goodness, my goodness. If we're going to, see, this paradigm has got to shift, because there's a whole lot of folk that will criticize you for really living holy. They'll criticize, they'll say, well, I had a pastor, I was sharing with a pastor, and he told me, I shared with him that, I said, well, I don't counsel with women without my wife. And so he said this to me. He said, well, man, you ain't been in the game long enough. You don't know what's happening. I said, beg your pardon? What you mean? He said, you have to know, man, how to. I said, no. I said, you're misunderstanding what I'm saying. See, you're misunderstanding what I'm saying. I said, I don't counsel women without my wife, because I don't want to give entry to the enemy. So he went on to tell me. What he did was he tried to make me feel like I was just an immature preacher. This is what happened. I shared with him anyway, and so, you know, after he finished, you know, with his prideful ways, and trying to make me feel this small. But see, when you know who you are, can't nobody make you feel small. Hallelujah. So he said, well, man, you'll learn. You'll learn further on down the road. The same man came to my house, knocked on my door, crying like a baby. Say, I need some help. I'm thinking, he coming there, he needs some money. The lights or something got cut off or something, you know? And so he down there, he crying. And so I said, what's wrong? He said, remember when you tried to tell me about counseling? And he said, I wound up counseling, and this lady was going through something with her husband, and he said, next thing I know, she was in my arms, and the next thing I said, where your wife was? I didn't think I needed my wife. I said, that's what I was trying to do. The Holy Ghost was trying to save you then. But see, when you're full of pride, and you're full of arrogance, and you're full of yourself, can't nobody tell you nothing. You with me? So he wound up, matter of fact, him and his wife, they wound up divorcing. But it's that old paradigm that they've been used to. Man, listen to me. If you know that there is a calling, there is an anointing on your life, you better protect yourself. I said, you better protect yourself. I told you, we already discussed chapter 1. All the strength, the wealth, the wisdom, the knowledge, all of that God gives to you, you got to be cautious when you load it. Okay, praise God. I said, you better be cautious. Hallelujah. So, my goodness. So, the prodigal son, he said, I will arise and go. Remember the prodigal son? He came to himself. He came to himself. He realized that he had missed it. Now, suppose he just, he just had a teaching about, the great grace of God is going to sustain you. You're going to be all right. No, that man had to come to himself. And the Bible says when he came, see, when restoration came, it brought forth manifestation. When he was restored, his daddy said, bring the fattest calf. Put a new robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put shoes on his feet. Manifestation came after, but he had to repent first. Repentance came first. So it's your choice. Today will mark the end of that affliction and that plague in your life. Plead the blood of Jesus. Let me read the scripture. I want to go to the scripture, because I want you to. Where the scripture at? Let me find it. The scripture is in 1 Corinthians 5. It's in Corinthians 10, 5. The 12. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. Just watch this. Watch this. It says, This is the Message Bible. It says, but just experiencing God's wonder and grace didn't seem to mean much. Most of them were defeated by temptation during the hard times in the desert, and God was not pleased. The same thing could happen to us. We must be on guard so that we never get caught up in wanting our own way as they did. And we must not turn our religion into a circus as they did. First, the people parted, and then they threw a dance. We must not be sexually promiscuous. They paid for that. Remember, with 23,000 deaths in a day, that's a small city. We must never try to get Christ to serve us instead of us serving him. They tried it, and God launched an epidemic of poisonous snakes. We must be careful not to stir up discontent. Discontent destroyed them. These are all warnings, markers, danger in our history books, written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes. Our positions in the story are parallel. They at the beginning, we at the end. We are just as capable of messing up as they were. Don't be so naive and self-confident. You are not exempt. Hallelujah. Praise God. You got to always realize that you're not exempt. We are not exempt. We have to keep ourselves covered. I say we have to keep ourselves covered. Praise God. And then in 1 Peter, 1 and 13 through 17, this is the New Living Testament. This is what it says. It says, so think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the special blessing that will come to you at the return of Christ. Obey God because you are his children. Don't slip back into your old ways of doing things or doing evil. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you to be his children, is holy. He is himself, he himself has said, you must be holy because I'm holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites when he judges. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverential fear of him during your time as foreigners in the earth. Hallelujah. So I mean, we have to, we have an obligation to live right. In other words, like I said earlier, we have to make sure that we cooperate with God's grace. Now, in 2 Corinthians 7 and 1, this is what it said. Beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, why in the world would the scripture tell us to cleanse ourselves? Now, we already know that we've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. We already know about the cross. Are y'all with me here? But how many of you know we have to cooperate with the grace of God? We have to make sure that we are using that grace to empower us. So we can't allow grace to enslave us. We must use it to empower us. Hallelujah. Or you'll be just like the caveman who had the weapon. He had what it took. He was given instruction. It was a gift to him, but he didn't use it. And so it was not God. It wasn't God who was responsible for his defeat. It was his own responsibility. He was responsible for his defeat because he didn't use what he had. And you don't use it to cover up. You use it to empower. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So then it says perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's another thing that there's a lack of, a fear of God, a reverential fear of God. You know, that's like, you can go somewhere. You can go to a hotel with somebody you don't have no business being with, and you can cut the lights off, you can close the curtains. Just because you can't see God don't mean God can't see you. Y'all with me? So you have to have a reverence, respect that God is always present. He's all known, he's all present. And so when you have this God consciousness, you can't do anything. You can't do any and everything. And that is something about, walking with God to the point to where, you know, your every waking hour, your mind is conscious of God. Glory to God. I mean, all through the day, you're so God conscious. That you can't, that even when evil tried to come in on you, amen, you're aware because you're God conscious, Lord, because you don't want to do anything to hurt the heart of God. Hallelujah. Lord, you understand? Lord, I love you so much, God, I would never do anything to bring a reproach against your name. And that's the kind of attitude that you have toward God. And that's when you, and see, this is the thing that really that sparks a move of God. Hallelujah. When you understand repentance, you understand that grace is not a cover up. You understand that grace is empowerment. When you understand, you understand that when I have to make sure that I'm walking in, whenever that word comes, I've got to make sure the Holy Spirit, I cannot let conviction pass me by. Y'all, I'm trying to teach, boy, but listen to me up in here. Glory to God. You have to understand and know that whenever the Spirit of God convicts you, hallelujah, I got 2 minutes. Whenever the Spirit of God convicts you, whenever you allow that conviction to pass, then you, watch this, if you allow conviction to pass, you become a convict. And then you become locked out to your destiny. Your destiny, amen. You will not be able to fulfill your destiny if you're a person who will not allow conviction. Conviction come and you I'm all right. No. You have to allow that conviction to cause you to come to a place of repentance. And repentance is going to lead you to that place of restoration. Restoration is going to lead you to that place of manifestation, which is going to cause you to walk in dominion. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And as the people of God, that's what's going to cause the move of God. And that's what we got to see in this last day, a move of God. Because when people are not just coming to the house of God now just to be coming, but people are coming to the house of God because they're hungry for a move of God. And when people understand, amen, that God, see, whenever there's a move of God, amen, there's conviction, amen, because conviction brings forth righteousness. And then whenever there's righteousness come in, how many of you know there's always judgment? Because the Bible says judgment going to start in the house of God. Yes. Oh, we can play with it if we want to, but judgment gonna 3,000 people got saved on with Pentecost. Are y'all with me? Yes. 3,000 people got saved, but how many of you know right after that in Acts in the second chapter that happened? Then over in the fifth chapter, Ananias and Sapphira fell dead. So whenever the God starts moving, conviction, see, that's why conviction, that's why we have to recognize conviction. I got to stop, y'all. I'm excited, but I got to stop. I'm not getting in no trouble. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, y'all finish reading that first chapter, and I'll pick it up next week. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Glory to God.